write my copies and to help clients do that. I would say that my strength lies in web design and graphic design rather than copywriting.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny that a lot of times you may speak to other marketers who are, you know, are talking about selling online, and there's a sometimes there's some argument on whether or not a site should look good as opposed to selling well, and maybe that's something we what's your sort of thought on that right off the start?
Well, you know, the thing is that I've seen so many websites that look good. When you come to visit their sites, they have flashy graphics, really high quality, professional, maybe high-tech looking sites. And then I look at their traffic ratings, and I see that these guys do not get any visitors at all, you know, maybe 10 to 50 a week, which is nearly not enough to get any kind of business from that kind of traffic. And then I see very simple websites, mostly text, some of them even ugly websites, and they're very successful websites just because of the copy that they contain of the text. So, of course, it's a great combination to have both. It's a great solution for businesses to have both quality graphics and attractive, interesting copy and headlines that are calling to the target audience. So, ideally, I'd like to see both on my clients' websites and on my own website.
Okay, well, maybe just to backtrack for a second, could you sort of go through how you got started? Because we've obviously talked a little bit on the phone before, but for listeners who are just new to your name, maybe you could tell them a little bit about some of the sites that you've done and where you came from and how you got started.
Sure. Well, first of all, my background is in music teaching. I came from another country, Ukraine, almost 11 years ago, and when I realized that I'm not going to be able to teach music here simply because the music teaching education system is very different from what I was used to back out in Ukraine, I decided to switch careers, and that's how I got into business and computers in general. My last job before I became a solopreneur was a web designer in a local Pennsylvania newspaper. And that company was very much in a big mess. The publisher was leaving. The internet department really didn't know where they were heading. And my job was so incredibly boring and challenging and non-structured. And I pretty much spent all my time browsing the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I just found an ebook that taught me how to write my own ebooks. And after I read that, that's how I got started in the whole internet business venture. The ebook, by the way, was by Ken Evoy, Make Your Knowledge Tell.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very popular ebook with authors.
That's the one I started. I started with Make Your Site Sell.
Well, that's the one I got first, and it did get me into the whole idea of having a business, but I wasn't sure what exactly am I going to be selling.
Mm-hmm.
So his other book, Make Your Knowledge Sell, actually showed how to write an ebook, how to market it, how to choose an audience, and after reading that book, I just put together my knowledge in an ebook, and my knowledge, of course, at that point was web design. That's the only thing I was comfortable writing about. And that's how my Create Your First Business Website in 10 Days was born. That was the very first venture.
So what are the exact details on that particular one? Is there a site that people can go to look at?
Yes, the site is firstbusinesswebsite.com, and what it is a downloadable manual, which can also be purchased on a CD-ROM, and what this is a tutorial for complete beginners on how to build their own website. And the unique point about that tutorial is that every step of the way is demonstrated through a video clip.
Okay, when you say video clip, what do you mean by that?
Well, when people get to a certain section, for example, how to insert an image into your website,
mm-hmm.
People can click on little camera picture, and a video will start playing right on their computer.
Okay, cool.
The reason I did that is because when I was trying to learn web design, I always wished that somebody would have just sat down next to me and showed me how to do things without telling me to read books or study hard, you know, in a classroom setting.
Mm-hmm.
I wish somebody would just sitting next to me and tell me exactly what to do step by step. And that's why the clips, because when you look at the clip or you watch a clip, you feel like I'm actually next to you and telling you, showing you what to do. So that was the first product. And after that, I've designed a couple more tutorials for people with a little bit more advanced web design skills, somebody who has already tried web design once and can, you know, comfortably upload a website to the Internet.
Is that one still selling well, or is that...
It is my bestseller. You know, it definitely is my bestseller. Obviously, more people, more business owners get online every day and want to get a website. And this is, I mean, the cost of the tutorial is just so little that it definitely beats hiring a professional web designer or a company or a firm that in your local town.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, it's for people who like to have control over things like that. You know,
okay.
I do design websites for clients, and a lot of people just feel like grabbing my mouse and doing things their way. And I feel like telling them, well, why don't you just learn it yourself? And then you'll have the control, and you'll be able to do exactly what you want to do on your website.
Now, one of the things that I always run into, and I don't know if this is the same for you, is that, for example, when I'm starting to create products and stuff, I always sort of create products that I feel are at my own sort of knowledge level, and then yet you've created a product for people who are termed newbies, correct?
Yes.
So how did you make sure that you were able to bring it down to a level so that everyone could understand? And then what happened to customers that you had that maybe were more advanced? How did you fix that?
Well, once in a while I do get customers who buy my tutorials and say, this is way over my head. And the reason they say that is because they're generally not comfortable with computers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the criteria is that if you have used Microsoft Word or any word processor before, then you will be comfortable using my tutorial. In other words, you need to understand basically how to use a mouse, how to use your keyboard,
mm-hmm.
How to open a file, how to save a file. So basic computer functions you need to be comfortable with. As far as getting it to the level of complete beginner, I pretty much can remember myself when I started years ago when I was completely new to computers. I was afraid to touch a computer, let alone teach it or do anything profitable with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I still was fresh in my mind. My husband is not very good or was not very good in computers back then.
He's not listening, is he?
No. No. Well, he doesn't mind me say that.
Oh, okay.
He knows that. He was not very comfortable with computers.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was writing it, I was imagining that I'm trying to teach him how to do that.
Okay.
And, you know, I would ask myself, will he understand that? And if my answer was no, then I would rephrase it and, you know, bring it even to a lower level of terminology.
Okay. And that was sort of a good grounding to keep...
Yes.
To keep you at a level that most people could understand.
Exactly.
Okay. And then after that particular point, you kind of led on that you do have another product, an advanced one?
Well, the other two products are, the second one was a 65 a web design tutorial that will teach you all kinds of tricks, how to set up tables, how to change color of your links because you know they're always blue unless you change them, how to design a magazine looking like layout for your website, laid out in columns, just different things that people will want to do, including displaying time, current time on your website,
mm-hmm.
Just anything you could possibly want to know. I embedded those tips in Mesmerizing Website Power, that's what it's called. And it's at Instant Web Design Answers. It's instantwebanswers.com. I was not able to register the other domain, the matching domain, so I had to go with a shorter one.
Okay. How did you come up with the domain names? Did you was it something that you did consciously, or was that part of the product to have a domain name that was the same as the product?
Well, actually, yes, it is a good idea to have your domain name in some way match your product name just so people could associate it with it and to help you brand it. Otherwise, let's see, there are a couple of websites that I always mistype simply because I'm trying to type in the product name and I forget that their domain name is different. And I always think, well, why didn't they register their domain for the actual product
mm-hmm.
name? So I think it's always a good idea to match your product name to their domain name as much as possible.
Now, you've also got a number of sites as well, so you use a multiple site strategy as well?
Right. For every product or for every service that I offer, I have a different domain. For example, I really wanted to do something for stay-at-home moms or work-at-home moms, and the domain that was not available to me, but I really, really wanted it, was businessmom.com. So I offered to buy it, and the lady sold it to me. So businessmom.com is another one that teaches moms how to start their online business.
Okay.
Or pretty much where I share my story of how I started it and how I managed my time with kids and having a full-time job at that time and how I was able to transition into a full-time entrepreneur.
Now, do you generally write books and do videos, or how do you write the books? Basically, you've got a number of titles there. Do you find that hard, or is it something that takes you a lot of time? Or I do obviously a lot of all my stuff's done in multimedia. I try not and write. So is that kind of the same idea that you're doing, and just adding the video to complement it, or is it really the video is the main part and then the text is sort of supplementary?
Well, actually, the video clip strategy in the first product that I released was one of a kind. I don't use that anymore because I do love writing more than anything. it is hard for me to combine, just like for any person who is a professional, whether it's a coach, a consultant, a graphic designer, I always like writing better than marketing. But what I did is I actually found some ways that I can combine both. So I market by writing, and all of my products after the first one are in PDF format or in website format. So writing is what I love to do, and I just find out what people want, people who are in my target audience, and I try to solve that problem for them.
Okay.
A lot of people who I'm working with are coaches and consultants, and their biggest problem is trying to market their practice while they're working with their existing clients. So, and I do the same thing. I used to struggle with that just as well as they are.
So how do you actually now, you're creating products, you've got products, how are you actually marketing it and to your target market, which are the coaches and consultants? So how are they finding out about you, and what makes them want to do business with you?
That's a very good question, James. I was just recently asked, Milana, what strategy do you use, attraction marketing or direct marketing? And I want to say I do both. I combine those two in such a way that they're most time efficient for me and most effective. So,
what do you mean by time efficient? Explain what you mean by that.
Well, whatever I do in my business, I make sure that this is not something a one-time shot. So if I write an article, I might reuse that topic of the article maybe in a upcoming teleclass, or I might put it in an ebook, that focuses on that subject. So I recycle ideas a lot in different formats. And when it's a teleclass, I make sure that I tape it and I put it on my website for people to listen to. I never just let my knowledge or my time or my efforts, my writing or creating efforts, just go for nothing. I make sure that I can use that information later in other formats. So that's the most important thing that a busy business person can do to increase their efficiency.
Yeah.
with their activities during the day.
Now, one question that kind of comes up, you're reusing the content. How do you decide whether or not to charge for something or to give something, to make something available, to the public?
Right. Well, the first reflex of any business person or any person who's creating something is to say, well, I've put in so much time into this. I better charge to get my money back, to get my time worth, anything. So the first thing I ask myself, how much time do I put in it? And then I ask myself, well, do people really need this kind of information? And finally, how readily available is this information on the Internet? So that people don't find it redundant or easily, located elsewhere on the mm-hmm. internet on other websites that have free information. So the first thing I do is make sure that this is something unique and this is something that will help people.
So do you just do a search then to try and find out if there is someone else that's doing something similar, or and then?
Right, and it's always a good idea when you're creating a product. It's always a good idea to just do your research, and I use this tool called Alexa.com,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I don't know if you know James, but if your listeners have not used it, it's a really wonderful tool. It helps you avoid that feeling in the dark when you browse the internet, especially when you're looking for joint venture partners, or like you're trying to find out if this site is being successful or getting any kind of interest from people. So what Alexa.com will do is tell you approximately how popular this website is. In other words, how many people are coming to that website. And that helps me understand whether a topic or a site or strategy that this marketer is using is successful.
Okay. So what would be an example of what you would consider to be successful or not considered successful then with an Alexa ranking?
They've changed last year, but at this point, if there is a rating below 100,000,
mm-hmm.
I consider it pretty good. What that number means actually is how many other websites are enjoying the same kind of traffic as this one.
Okay.
For example, Yahoo is probably rated number 5 simply because there's only 4 other websites that are receiving that amount of traffic. My new website, espo.com, is now in the top 37,000 websites.
Yeah, I think actually I was just looking at it. It's 37.4.
765.
Yeah.
What I have on my screen.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good considering that I have not been doing too much marketing because it's just started. You know, we just launched in February. So in 3 months, it jumped from 8 million to 37,000.
Okay, so what are the details on that site for people who are listening then?
The URL, the domain is ASPOW, which stands for Association of Solo Professionals on the Web. So it's espo.com, and what it is a membership website for self-employed professionals such as coaches, consultants, and it pretty much trains self-employed people to market themselves without spending too much money if they're on a low budget and if they're not willing to put in, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars into advertising, which they shouldn't anyway. You know, it's not considered to be a very good marketing strategy for any kind of professional, service professional, especially on the internet, because people don't buy $1,000 worth product or service right away. They want to first get interested in what you offer, get interested in you and your business, and then you would, make them aware of what else you offer.
Okay, so that actually brings up an interesting point. You've kind of sort of implied here that that some of the solo professionals and these independent professionals, the internet marketing and making their knowledge sell really has to do with a lot of offline techniques over and above some stuff that they do with their website.
Yes, because especially when you are somebody who can offer services remotely, such as coach or consultant, and remotely I mean over the telephone, over the email, maybe instant messaging, or anything that you can do without your physical presence at a client's site. And that's where coaches and consultants fall, or designers or writers, anybody who can send their finished product or service over the internet, over the telephone. I would consider that a qualified person to use espo.com successfully.
Okay.
And to combine it with offline efforts, it's absolutely essential, because if you're just trying to market offline, which means locally, you are limiting yourself to just the clients who are in your geographical area, maybe up to 50 miles.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you think that independent, the solopreneurs, what are some of the biggest mistakes you think that they're making?
Well, I think first of all is that a lot of people are trying to do everything on their own, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it's fine, and especially if they're on a low budget, it's fine. But once their business starts expanding, they have clients. Maybe they see or speak to 4 or 5 clients a day. They also have to find some time to market. They have to find some time to write, to make contact. And I'm not talking about cold calling at all. I'm talking about contacting people who, or actually replying to people who have contacted you because they found your website.
Mm-hmm.
And as innocent as that sounds, and as simple as it sounds, email replying is a very important part of any business. But it's also a very time-consuming part. I spend about 2 hours a day at least replying to my clients or my prospects in the emails. And if you have only 5 or 6 hours to work, it's a huge chunk of your time. So I think that one of the biggest problems is that they're trying to do everything on their own, and instead they can get somebody, maybe a virtual assistant who won't charge them, an arm and a leg for basic tasks such as marketing themselves. So all they would do is tell them, here's my article, submit it to publishers, and the virtual assistant would then do that. Or I have to work with clients this week, can you please tend to my email? So virtual assistants are great in that aspect. You just need to find the right one who understands the business of emails and articles, and basically be comfortable on the internet.
Now, you've mentioned a couple times articles there. Is that your main strategy for educating and informing potential customers? And then how do you approach that?
Well, articles is something that does not require having a large budget for your marketing efforts. In addition to working very well, it's also completely free.
Mm-hmm.
So that I teach my clients to use articles as their first, number one way of promoting themselves. And actually, I was just recently on a call with Mark Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
About selling his business, and he confirmed that. I mean, a lot of people come to you and say, I had an email just maybe a year or two ago, and somebody said, stop teaching us, writing articles, and, just start at promoting your business. And what he meant is that articles are not effective. Start advertising. And he was pretty much criticizing the way I was teaching my clients and my prospects and my newsletter subscribers to publish, to get their articles published.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thought of it as a time-wasting, ineffective strategy.
Mm-hmm.
For people who have large budget and don't want to take time to write articles and just want to advertise and see immediate results, this might be a good strategy. Absolutely. Direct response strategy works very well for many businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody with as a service professional, I think that the best way to do that is by developing credibility and trust in what they do.
I'll give you a personal example. I know that I got started, just a personal example. A year and a half ago, you read magazines that you admire, so you say, man, would it ever be great if I had an article in that magazine? And out of inexperience, what I did is I approached Entrepreneur Magazine and said, look, I've got some articles, and I was wondering if you guys would like to run them. And it ended up that I wrote for Entrepreneur Magazine for the small office, home office, for that part of their online one. I wrote for over a year just because I submitted one article into the strategy. So, yeah, it works very, very well. And there was no cost in getting advertising in Entrepreneur Magazine for a whole year.
And if nothing else, if you didn't get, prospect customers or clients, which I doubt, you probably did some business from the publishing
directly.
Entrepreneur,
yep.
You can at least put that on your website that you have your articles published in Entrepreneur Magazine.
Yeah, absolutely, as seen in Entrepreneur Magazine.
Credibility factor.
Yeah, yeah.
If Entrepreneur is publishing you, then, you must be credible.
Yeah.
Just that's how people's minds work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So from personal experience, I know that that strategy works. So I'm glad that we're on the same page with that one.
Oh yes, absolutely. And they've always worked for me. I've known, and I always share this story because it amazed me. It has blown me away completely. When I started publishing articles, and I do that mostly on the internet, so my articles are published online simply because that's the audience I'm trying to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that one person was constantly submitting articles. Every day you would see his name.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be able to submit your articles, you also need to be subscribed to the same article news group.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see everything that everybody else does.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy has been just submitting every day, and I was curious, why is he doing this? And I emailed him, and what he said is that, this is unbelievable, Milana. This is the only marketing strategy I use. I submit articles and get them published. That's the only way I market my business. And this person sells books. He's a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read his articles, you'll say, oh, my God, he's an expert on this and on this and on relationships and on business and on finances. His articles cover just a wide range of topics, but that's all he does. He said that this is the only way I market my business, and I'm a full-time writer. This is completely profitable. So if you use it, even if you use just the article publishing strategy, it'll still work for you.
Now, one of the things that's often, you know, someone might be a professional or a consultant, but they don't like to write. So what would your suggestion be to someone who either isn't comfortable writing or that they you know, the words, they much rather talk than they would write? What would you suggest to them?
Well, first of all, there are ghostwriters who are writers who would write articles for you. You just provide them with information in any format, whether you just talk to them on the telephone or just jot down the ideas and send it off to them. They're professional writers, and they will write it for a fee. That's one thing. But if you don't have the budget to hire a ghostwriter and you really want to use the strategy, I would recommend getting a small voice recorder and talking your articles into the recorder and then transcribing them later or having somebody else transcribe it. Simply because some people are better in speaking than in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are better expressing themselves and, you know, vocally. And I had a friend who is a graphic designer, and that's how it worked for her. She was absolutely not a writer. She was just a very visual person, obviously a graphic designer of 10 years experience, and it was just not for her. And every time I would remind her to write an article, she was just groaning and moaning, and she would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion on getting her own little voice recorder worked. She came up with, you know, 3 articles in a week after doing that.
And where do you suggest that, or do you have a strategy for where to submit articles?
Oh, yes. On my Aspo site, actually, I list a whole arsenal of websites where you can submit your articles. These can be article directories where a website accepts articles into their database. It can be a news group where every writer submits an article or every business person sends an article, and then thousands of publishers see it and might, you know, pick it up and publish it. There are also newsletters that may be interested in publishing your article. So what I did is I pretty much shared my marketing Rolodex on Aspo for people who want to use the strategy.
Okay.
And the best place to start to find article directories or article news groups is by going to egroups.com.
Mm-hmm.
And type in the word article or articles to see which news groups accept article publishing.
Okay. Is there if there was 3 things that you could tell someone who was starting out, you know, what do you think those 3 things would be?
As far as marketing business on the internet?
Yeah, sure. Or just being successful online as a solo entrepreneur.
Right. Well, the biggest, here's what I found with my Aspo members. One of the benefits offers member profile. In other words, they can submit their photograph and their background and services that they offer to me, and I would post them on the site. Only 25% of the members who join do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tells me is that Well, some of them might not be interested in this benefit and instead just trying to learn and read the information available on the site and not take advantage of this benefit. On the other hand, these might be the people who are not motivated enough to market themselves. So while some people, some members send me their profile as soon as they join, maybe 20 minutes later I receive their profile, others take their time and never do that. So and the reason I say that is because I think staying motivated is extremely important, especially when you feel that your business is not going as well as you expected it to go. You will be very tempted to quit.
Do you mean consultants and people that start off, it doesn't all work perfectly when they first get self-employed? It doesn't work perfect every time?
Oh, there are plenty of people like that. I mean, everybody, I mean, when I started my first business, my first website was actually helpingfood.com. I tried selling website critiques to other business owners, to other website owners. And I maybe sold one or two of those. But because I enjoyed web design so much and creating websites and writing, I didn't give up. I kept doing something different, you know, try different things, but still in the area of web design / internet. And I finally, you know, figured out how to make it work. So the most important thing, I think, is to pick an area for your business or your marketing strategy that you enjoy, that you're passionate about. And I know how cliche this must sound because I've heard it a million times before I started my business. You have to be passionate and just hear this so many times. But now that I am in business and now that I am full-time, I can tell you that this is so true. You know, sometimes my business does go slow. You know, in March, I was almost ready to cry because, you know, I felt like maybe I was creating too much and wasn't marketing. So that was very frustrating. But because I love doing this, I just went on and on. I didn't stop. And then I started seeing the results again. And, you know, you have to remember the, if you're familiar with Dan Pink's book,
Free Agent Nation, yeah.
Yeah, he just points out, and it's very important to understand for any self-employed person, that there's always ups and downs. And if you keep that in mind and tell yourself, it's okay that this month didn't go well. It's okay, next month will be better. Then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And you and I'm the kind of person that always panics. So for me, it's really hard to see 1 month have no income and other months maybe have three times what I expected. I do prefer having a stable income. So maybe, you know, a business is not for everybody. Their own business is not for everybody. Some people prefer a consistent paycheck from month to month.
Yeah.
But there's so many other benefits of being in business for yourself.
And having consistent months where it's three times your normal income is okay, too.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget that one. Don't forget that one. Yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, at the end of the year, just average it out and say, well, this is how much I made on the average every month, even though in March I didn't make anything.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Right.
So if people... you know, you've mentioned also about being persistent and making sure that you're passionate about things. If people want to find out more about your services, what's the best strategy that, that they should follow to find out about who you are, get to know you a little bit, see some of your articles, and then hopefully go and purchase some of your products? What should they do?
Well, my latest project, of course, is ASPO, the Association of Solo Professionals on the Web. That's where I put all of my energy right now. And there's a lot of free material available because I publish a weekly e-zine for solo professionals. So if you go to aspo.com and click on free marketing tips, that's where the e-zine is. And I also have my main website, and I was very lucky to have purchased that domain. It's milana.com. It's my first name.com. And I was chasing that domain for months. The first time I contacted the person, they asked for $2,000, and I had not, you know, I could not afford that money on purchasing my domain. And as months went by, he started offering me, you know, smaller and smaller price. And finally, he said $300, and I bought it. So Milana.com is my sort of headquarters of my business,
mm-hmm.
like a portal to all of my other websites.
Okay. That's the same strategy that I use, where it's jamesmaduke.com and then everything else sort of runs off the end. So, and what's
especially when you name... Sorry, when you name guests out a lot and you become popular and mm-hmm. people want to find you by your name,
mm-hmm.
There is a guy by the name of Jim Straw. He's a very popular direct marketer.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder why Jim Straw is not using his jimstraw.com. Because whenever I try to find him, I forget that his website is businesslyceum.com. I always go to jimstraw.com and then I realize that it's not actually that.
Yeah, it's interesting the way that, you know, personal strategies to a little bit different for each person, but it ends up that, you know, whatever works, continue to do it, and if it doesn't work, stop doing it and try something different,
right.
And be persistent.
And testing is so important. A lot of people just do things on the Internet without tracking their results. You know, I have a habit of checking my statistics at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see how many people came to a certain website, how long they stayed, where they came from. Just very important to know what's happening out there and why you're not getting the results that you want. Maybe you don't have enough traffic, or maybe you do, but your site is not selling well.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand what exactly is happening and why you're not seeing the results that you want.
Yeah. Well, we've been speaking with Milana, and I'm going to pronounce it. I'm having trouble with your last name, and I should know it better, but it's Leshinsky, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good. Yes. And the best place to go is www.milana.com or the www.aspow.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, and I want to thank you very much for joining me today, and I want everyone to go and visit those sites and sign up for the newsletter and get to know what great work you're doing. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, James.
Yeah. This is James Maduke speaking. You've been listening to Small Business Heroes, and we'll talk to you again next week.